bid you welcome again, express appreciation for your being here. Always good to get together, and by the way, as you know, there's an outline in the bulletin if you'd like to follow along as we make the presentation. Always appreciate Brother Orby mentioning my name in prayer, and that's for a good recollection, speedy recollection, or something along those lines. I remember what I prepared, so I remember the story of a preacher that is always, you know, right before he'd get up to preach, he'd bow his head like that, and his little daughter always saw him do that. And finally, she asked him, Daddy, what are you doing when you bow your head right before you get up to preach? And he said, well, daughter, I say a little prayer and ask God to give me a good sermon. And she said, well, why doesn't he do it? So, I appreciate Orby not saying, oh, we pray for a good sermon, but a ready recollection. You know, whether it's good or not, you know, that's to be evaluated. A lesson that comes not only from the text that was read to us, but from the verse that I gave at the top of your notes. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. We're key on that word, work of faith, or labor in love. That is, you can't have one without the other. You know, when you think of the old song, love and marriage, you know, they go together like a horse and carriage, or peas in a pod, things that go together, or sugar and spice. Clarence and Barbara.
Uh-oh.
Things that go together. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, Paul said, we give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love. But just put by definition, so we're on the same page on that. Think about work of faith. Remember in the text that was read to us in James chapter 2, verse 18. I didn't rewrite that one in your notes. But James 2, verse 18. So someone will say, you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Faith has to be shown, be revealed. In verse 26, he mentions, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You can't have one without the other. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9, interesting phrase, he says, beloved, we're confident of better things concerning you. Well, what better things? I'm confident of better things concerning you. He continues and he says, yes, things that accompany salvation. I was, oh, but I'm saved. Well, show me. You know, there are things that accompany salvation. You can't have one without the other. And then he gives you an illustration. He says, though we speak in this manner, God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, in which you have shown. Oh, wait a minute, what is it? I want a work and labor of love. Which is it? Work and labor or love? You say, well, I love God. Well, show me. Work and labor of love. You love the work. In that you have shown toward his name. In that you've ministered to the saints. Oh, one way to manifest your love or your work. You minister to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope. Do not become sluggish. So we know what work of faith is. You can't have one without the other. The other one is that word labor. Work, that's a work of faith. Every activity undertaken for Christ's sake, that's a work of a labor of love and of faith. It's those things that we do, that was in the verses we just read. It means to serve, minister, fulfill our duty, our function, exert ourselves in a specific task. You know what the definition of labor is or work? But then he says, of love. We need to have a heartfelt attachment for our work and our labor. It's an adoration for it. Cherish that work. Hold it dear. Desire it. And then W.E. Vine, is in his Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, for this definition of labor and even of love, he says, love can only be known from the action it prompts. Love expresses itself in action. In other words, love is seen. It's visible. It's displayed. It's more than think love and feel love. It's give love. Just like the word thanks. It's not just thanks feeling or thanks thinking. It's thanksgiving. How do I know you're thankful? Unless you display it or show it in some way. How do I and others know that you are in love with the work or with God or with one another? It's displayed. You have to show it. It's more than just a feeling. In 1 John 3, verse 18, John says, my little children, that's not love in word or in tongue. Or don't just say it. But in deed and in truth. In the King James, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8, says, prove the sincerity of your love. Prove it. So I give you an example in your notes. I'm going to read the text, the entire text. Familiar story of the lady who washes the feet at Simon's house. But here's the full verse. In Luke 7, beginning in verse 44. He turned to the woman and said to Simon, this is what he says to Simon. He says, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears, wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, to Simon, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she has loved much. Do you see the contrast? Simon, since I came in, you really haven't done anything. This woman has, and she has displayed or shown her love. Jesus did not say to Simon, you have loved much. He said, this woman has. There's an old saying, just to show this illustration. If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? If you were arrested for being a Christian, how would I know that? Would there be evidence to convict you? Someone that's unfaithful. I may go visit them and ask them what the problem is. And they may say to me, Brian, I still love the Lord. And I would say to them, well, if you decided to unlove the Lord, what would you do differently? You say you love God all you want to. But if we don't see it, how do we know? If you're unfaithful, what would you do differently if you unloved the Lord? I don't look at anybody in special. Let me give you some examples of these two things going together. Examples of labor and love or work and faith. Number one is God. It's an obvious one. John 3, verse 16, God so loved. How do you know? He gave. Goes together. Love and giving. God just didn't give a shout out from heaven, I love you guys down there. If he did, I'd want to shout back. Where's the love? If all you did was say it, where's the love, God? In Romans 5, verse 8, it says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us. Demonstrates it. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, we see it in action. In Ephesians 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, displayed it, revealed it, blessed us with every spiritual blessing. In Ephesians 2, verse 4, it says, but God, who's rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you've been saved. Oh, thank you, God, for not just giving us a shout out, but demonstrating your love for us. See, it goes together. A labor or a work of love. Number two is Jesus. You know, we even have a song in our book. If I thought about it, Dennis, I would have had you lead that song, number 386. The title of the song is He Loves Me. And the first, and in the stanza of the song, it tells you the love of Jesus, what he went through at the cross. And then the chorus just keeps going, he loves me, this I know. Okay. Jesus. In Ephesians 5, verse 25, he introduces husbands first, and we'll get to that in our next point. He says, husbands, love your wives, just as, or even as, Christ also loved the church and gave himself for him. So the question is, how did Christ love the church? How did he love the church? It's a demonstrated love. I just listed a couple of things for you to bring you, kind of lead you in that direction. Jesus loved the church sacrificially. It's in the verse, he gave himself for it. In Acts 20, verse 28, when Paul addresses the elders, he reminded them of this. He speaks of the church, which he, meaning Jesus, purchased with his own blood. It was sacrificial love. Of course, when I go through this list, of course, the introduction is husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church. So husbands, you can think about along these same lines in your love for your wife. Love her sacrificially. But second, Jesus loved the church with a purpose. In Ephesians 5, verse 27, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, and that she should be holy and without blemish. So he loved us with a purpose. So this is how I want you to live. This is how I want you to behave yourself in the church of God. He loved us with a purpose. He loved us voluntarily. The same way our husbands love your wives. In John chapter 10, verse 17, Jesus said, therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. He went to the cross voluntarily. He loved the church absolutely. In other words, he didn't withhold anything needful from the church. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing. And the list could go on. But that gives you some idea when you think about love and works or labor going together. You can't have one without the other. It's demonstrated by God. So loved the world he gave. Jesus, just as Jesus loved the church and gave himself for her. The next illustration are husbands. So wives, you may want to wake up your husbands for this section. Husbands, you may want to guard your ribs because I'm sure there might be an elbow. You may want to move away a little bit. But Ephesians 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives. And the illustration that we just gave, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, be some giving in that. husband-wife love relationship. You can't just say it. You have to show it. And then he continues the illustration. Our love for our wives, husbands, not only be just as Christ loved the church, but in verse 28, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Verse 29, no one ever hated his own flesh, but he nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Well, what does that look like? What's that demonstrated love that husbands are to give their wives? What does that look like? We already mentioned, as Christ loved the church, but next, as their own body. So husbands, how do you love your own body? I don't intentionally hurt my body. I love my body, in a sense. Could shed a few pounds, but I love my body. I'm not going to hurt it on purpose. No, I'm going to treat my body badly. I'm going to intentionally inflict pain on my body. Husbands, love your wives as you love your own body. Don't you, husbands, don't you compliment yourself? I'm sure when Clarence gets up in the morning, looks in the mirror, he says, how can one man be so blessed?
Amen.
And no one ever hated his own flesh. Even with husbands, even when we don't do what we like or what we intended and we falter and fall short, we say, you know, I'm really not so bad. We're quick to forgive ourselves. We quickly say, I'm okay. I'm not mean or criminal or wretched. I faltered a little bit, but we still love. We need to love our wives as we love our own body, and we don't hate our body. Husbands, don't hate your wife. The next phrase is nourishes it. We nourish our body, don't we, husbands? I've made special trips to the store late in the evening to get ice cream. I nourish my body. That ice cream builds me up, not out. Now, what you see here, that used to be up here. That's on my chest down here. Of course, if it keeps going, it's going to be down on my hips and my knees before long. It keeps sinking. But husband, love your wife in a way that you nourish your own body. Nourish your wife. You cherish your body. It means you treat it dearly. And tenderly, you give your body what it needs. So the husband, and these things that go together, to demonstrate his love for his wife and not just give a shout out. You know, I try to do three things for Christine every day. Doesn't always work out this way. But I want to tell her I love her. I want to give her a compliment and do something nice for her. Your husbands might want to adopt the same thing. I don't mean toward Christine. Maybe you better ask her first. She may want you to tell her, don't know what you love her and do something nice for her and pay her a compliment. You know, she may think, well, that's all right, Brian. Don't be so quick. Number four, the last one is all of us are involved in a labor of love and a work of faith. Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's love in action. You can't just say it and not do it. You can't. It has to be revealed in some way. In 2 John, verse 6, it said, this is love. Now we have a Bible definition, not only these other definitions, but a Bible definition. This is love. What's love? John said that we walk after his commandments. How does God know that you love him? Besides just put my hands up, I love you, Lord. Love you, love you. Walk in his commandments. See? In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's keeping his commandments, isn't it? Doing what he says. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's worth it all. It's worth it. To love the work. Love the labor. Love the faith. The work of faith and labor of love. So I love you. I still have another page, but I'm not. I'll catch that another day. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. Maybe one here this morning, not a member of the New Testament church, not been baptized for Jesus. Knowing that God loves you and made a way for us that we could not provide for ourselves. God gave us something that was needed. He gave it to us voluntarily. And he made a way, a provision that we could not provide for ourselves. And we need to respond to that. So we preach the gospel message. And once you've heard that gospel message, you believe it. Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. You have to believe. You have to hear. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how can you believe in him whom you've not heard? So you have to hear and then you have to believe. Jesus also said in Luke chapter 13, verse 3, except you repent, you'll perish. So we have to repent according to Jesus' words. And then you'll want to confess your faith that Jesus is God's son. That's what the Ethiopian did to Philip in Acts chapter 8. He preached to him Jesus, but evidently the subject of baptism was in that because the Ethiopian interrupted his sermon and said, here's water, anything hindering or stopping me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe, you may. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Philip said, stop the chariot. They both went down into the water, both Philip and the Ethiopian, and Philip baptized him. Came up out of the water, the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. Salvation is always an occasion of rejoicing. Always occasion of rejoicing. So that's the invitation we extend. That's the plan, the formula, the steps, the procedure. If you're subject to that and want to respond this morning in a public way, just simply let it be known by having a seat beside me while we're singing this song. So let's stand together and sing the song that Dennis has selected for.